Hey, if you have a Bible, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to be jumping into a brand new series this week called The New City Catechism, right? Now, it's an interesting title for a series. Maybe you were driving by 518 and you saw the series graphic on the sign out front and you thought, huh, what's that going to be all about? Well, we're going to talk about that today, and it's going to be a little different message because we're going to introduce to you the series and talk more about what God is up to, what we believe he's wanting to challenge us with, and what we're going to be inviting you to be a part of over these next 5 weeks, but in addition, even further into 2019. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 is where we're going to be. As you're turning there, you know, here's something that I believe, and this is the big idea and question of the series that we're in right now, we're beginning today, and it's this, is I believe that everybody believes in something. Everybody believes in something, but here's the question. But do you clearly know what you believe and why? Everybody believes in something, but do you clearly know what you believe and why? And I'm not talking to you just if you're a follower of Jesus here today, because I believe whether you're a follower of Jesus, whether you're not a follower of Jesus, whether you were invited, whether you're a friend or family member, whatever got you to this place today, that no matter your background, no matter your socioeconomic status, no matter your race, no matter whether you're married, single, whatever, there's a couple things about you that I believe. First one we talked about last week is this, is that I believe you want to find meaning and purpose to your life. Is that you want to know that your life is matters in some bigger way than just simply living day to day. And in how you determine that oftentimes will lead you, as it does for me, to develop a set of beliefs, things that you believe in or people that you trust in. And you say, because of what I desire to find in life, I'm laying this foundation. And so I'm believing in these truths, these ideas, and this is what's going to direct my life. So it's one thing to believe, but the question is, I want to ask is, do you clearly know what you believe and why? Even as a follower of Jesus, see, most of us in this room have this in common, that we've put our faith, our belief in Jesus Christ and who the Bible says that he is. But do you clearly know what you believe about Jesus? And do you clearly know why you believe what you believe about Jesus? And that's so important because of this, because what we believe will determine our identity, who we are. And then who we are will ultimately determine what we do in our life. And what we do in life will lead us to either a life of meaning and purpose or a life not filled with meaning and purpose and a life of searching. And it all comes back to, I believe, what we believe. And so the question for this series that we're going to be looking at is, we all believe in something. Let's just start there. But do you clearly know what you believe and why? And if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you believe in the Bible as truth, if you believe in what we as a church say is the foundational truth that leads to a purposeful, meaningful life, do you know clearly, in a way that affects your life, in a way that you can share with other people, do you clearly know what you believe and why? That's the purpose of the series and what we're going to be talking about today and over the weeks ahead. And it all comes back to something that Paul tells us, the Apostle Paul, the New Testament writer and New Testament leader, church planner. He tells us in the book of 2 Thessalonians. And so if you have your Bible, hopefully you've turned there, stand with me. We're going to read this scripture, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 13 through 17. And if you're new to our church, we'll read this together. And at the end of our passage, we'll say this phrase, the very words. And we do that just to distinguish God's word from mine this morning. Let's look, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 13. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through our gospel so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. So Paul is writing to a group of believers in a town called Thessalonica. And very similar to the letter he wrote to Colossians, in the letter of Colossians we've been looking at in the series we just ended last week, Paul's writing for a specific purpose. And one of the things he's writing to these believers about is he's writing to encourage their faith because they're experiencing some trial and some turmoil. They're going through some difficult times. And so what Paul is wanting them to do is Paul's wanting them to understand how important it is that what they believe and why they believe it. It's so important because those two things are things that they need to hold on to and stay firm in so that the circumstances in life, the hardships in life, and the questions in life don't sway them away from the things they've come to believe about who Jesus is and what he's done for them. He begins in this passage by reminding them a couple things. Number one, he says that they've been chosen by God to be saved for their sins through faith. They've been chosen by God. He says they've been called by God through the message of the gospel, and they've been given a new life. And because of those things, because they've been called, because they've been chosen, because they've been given a new life, Paul says, here's what I want you to do. And let's look back at verse 15. He says, so then, brothers, I want you to stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by a spoken word or by our letter. He says, I want you to stand firm and I want you to hold to what you've been taught. In other words, I want you to stand firm and I want you to hold to what you believe about Jesus, what you believe about the Father God. And I want you to stand firm and hold to those specific things. This idea of standing firm is to be planted in, to persist, to not be swayed or moved. It's being able to be foundationally, you know, grounded in these things. And he says, I want you to hold to. I want you to keep living these things out. I want you to not let go of them, but to retain them. And he says, I want you to stand firm in and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us. Well, what are these traditions? They're what it means to believe in Jesus. It's the beliefs and the why we should believe those things that Paul and the New Testament leaders and pastors were teaching these new followers of Jesus. And so Paul says, listen, I want you to stand firm in, and I want you to hold to what you believe. And I believe this, that it's difficult to stand firm in and to hold to something that's either not known, not very clear, or not very certain. And what I've seen at times in my life and what I've seen in the lives of so many other people is that their belief in Jesus and the truths of the Bible are good enough for the good times. But when hard times come, when difficult questions come, when challenging situations come, that faith begins to sway a little bit and they begin to not be as firm about what they believe and why. Now, let me be very clear at the very beginning of this. Becoming a follower of Jesus is not about how much you know. You don't have to pass a test to get into heaven other than have you put your faith and trust in Jesus. We saw this morning kids and adults being baptized, meaning that they've put their faith and their trust in Jesus, and in a visible way, they're representing today what God has done in them in a spiritual way. And so whether you're a young child or you're an older adult, we come to Christ by grace through faith, not having all of our answers answered, not having all of our questions resolved. We come to him as we are, where we are, by faith. That is what brings us into a relationship with God through Jesus. But Paul says that faith and what you believe in, though, needs to be something that you can stand firm in and you can hold to. And so one of the things that we want to do as a church in our vision to saturate the 4B area with the gospel of Jesus, we want to do that by renovating people, families, and churches. And part of that is this, is that we want everyone in the 4B area to know somebody who can clearly communicate to them what they believe and why they believe it about Jesus. So in order for that to happen, we've got to make sure that we can answer the question of what we believe and why we believe it. And no matter where we are on our journey of faith, I believe, because if you're anything like me, I know this about me, I know I can always grow to know Christ more and more. And so what we want to introduce today is we want to introduce to you a way, not the only way, but a way and a resource and approach that we're gonna challenge you to be a part of with us that can help us in deepening our understanding of what we believe and why. And it's a resource called the New City Catechism, right? It was put together by a couple of groups. One is a group called the Gospel Coalition. It's a group of collective churches in the U.S., very grounded in scripture, very, very firm in their belief in Jesus. And a guy named Tim Keller, who's a pastor and writer and author, maybe you read some of his books or you've heard of some of his books, who pastors a church in New York City called Redeemer Presbyterian Church. And what they've done is they've put together a catechism, which we'll talk about that word in a minute, so don't freak out. We have put together this approach of here's a way for people, regardless of where they are in faith, to not only firm up and grow in their understanding of what they believe and why, but then also help other people to grow in these same ways. And so what I want to do this morning is this, is I want to answer four questions about what we believe and why that's so important. Why we would encourage you and challenge you to embrace a journey of being intentional about growing in that, and the difference we believe as a church it's going to make in your life. And it all comes back to that foundational idea that I know you believe in something. And many of you believe in Jesus Christ, but do you clearly know what you believe and why? All right, let's look at this. Four questions that we want to talk about today. First is this: what is a catechism, right? What is a catechism? So when you hear the word catechism, what comes to your mind, I wonder, right? For some, maybe you're like, isn't that a thing that Catholics do, okay? For others, you think catechism and you're like, that was the class I had to take when I was like 12 years old in the church that I didn't want to go to because it was really boring, right? For others, you're like, isn't that some sort of like ritualistic, legalistic type thing that Baptist churches don't really do, right? We're kind of more contemporary than that. And you know, for others, you're like, catechism, medical procedure for a cat, like what, you know? I'm like, it's a mineral, I don't know. I mean, you're guessing, yeah, he's like, I don't know, right? So here's what a catechism is and what a catechism is not, just to kind of bring the tension down of the word, right? Now, on your notes, if you want to write this down, a catechism is simply this. It's a collection of questions and answers used for instruction. The word catechism, we don't use it very often in our culture, but a catechism is a tool and a collection of questions and answers used for instruction. It's a way, it's a method, it's an approach of teaching somebody something important. It comes from this Greek word, katecheo, which is found in the New Testament in several different places, which honestly just means to teach or to instruct. So to catechize somebody sounds a little daunting and a little, you know, maybe too personal, right? But it's like, hey, all it means is to teach or instruct. And a catechism is just simply a collection of questions that helps people learn something. And we see this Greek word used several different places in the New Testament. Two examples, one in Galatians 6:6, the Apostle Paul says this, that he says, let the one who is taught, but the one who is katecheo, the word, share all good things with the one who teaches. So it says, listen, let the one who is instructed, who is being taught, right? This is what's going on. In Acts chapter 18, verse 25, it says this, that he, talking about Apollos, one of the early church leaders, had been instructed or had been catechized in the way of the Lord. So it's simply a word that means to instruct or to teach. And a catechism is simply a group of teachings that you want to pass on to somebody else. So let's just go ahead and say, listen, if the word catechism is going to mess up kind of your thinking about, I don't know if I'm going to go there, I don't know if I can think about that, just replace the word with like a New City approach or a New City teaching. Because at the end of the day, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about a group of questions and answers that have been put together to teach what we believe about Jesus and why we believe it. All right? Second thing is this. Second question, is this biblical? right? Good question to ask, right? Okay, we know what a catechism is now, but why would we talk about this? Is this even something the Bible would want us to be talking about here on a Sunday morning? Well, a couple things I think are important to understand when it comes to what the Bible says about teaching and instruction, and even having a group of instructions, a group of teachings together that we want to rally around. First is this, is God wants us to grow in our faith. And we need to maybe just kind of pause here for a minute and come back, because this is such a clear thing that we've got to understand. God wants you to grow in your faith in him. God wants you to know more about him today than you did when you first became a follower of Jesus. God wants you to continually understand more and more about who he is, what he's done, and how that should affect our life. If you look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, the writer says this. He says, Let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. So like we said, we come to faith in Christ wherever we are in our understanding. But when we accept Jesus and we become his follower, God wants us to grow in that relationship. He wants us to know more about who Jesus is, who God is, who the Holy Spirit is, what the Bible teaches us. And the writer of Hebrews says we want to move from these more elementary teachings into a deeper level of maturity. So having something that says we want to invest time in learning more about what we believe and why we believe it goes exactly along with God's heart that he wants us to grow in our faith. But do we see this type of thing, a group of teachings in the Bible that we want to be focusing around? Well, I think we do. Look at a couple examples here. Romans 6:17 says this, "But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed." So Paul is writing again to this group of Christians in Rome, and he says this. He says that you have been obedient to the heart, or from the heart, to the standard of teaching. That there was this standard of teaching. There were these truths about Jesus, about the resurrection, about his experiences and who he was and what he had for us. That these were things that needed to be instructed, right? If you go to 2 Timothy 1:13, Paul writes again, he says, "Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." He says, "I've given you certain instructions. I want you to follow those instructions," right? From the very beginning of the Christian church and Christian faith, men and women have been putting together instructions, teachings, to pass along to others so that we can know what we believe and why we believe it. The very first gospels that were written, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four accounts of the life of Jesus, were followers of Jesus that weren't necessarily wanting to put together and say, "I'm gonna write the Bible," because the Bible didn't really exist right then outside of the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament. They said, "We wanna write down an account of Jesus, what he taught, what he did, so that we can instruct other people in these things." And they begin to develop these different sets of instructions. They pulled out the Lord's Prayer, and they begin to teach the Lord's Prayer throughout Christian history of, here's a way to pray. They develop different creeds, like the Apostles' Creed, which was a set of just statements of, here's what it means to believe who Jesus is and what the Bible teaches. And we want to memorize this and learn these so that we can have a sure faith that we can stand firm in and we can hold on to. So a catechism like this New City Catechism is simply another way of putting together instructions and teachings about who Jesus is, who God is, what the Bible teaches us, in a way that we can deepen our faith of what we believe and why, but then we can also put that in the hands of somebody else. So yes, I believe this whole conversation is biblical. Third question though, and this is the one that probably makes the most sense, and this is probably the one that you're asking, is not just, you know, what does the word mean and is it biblical, but is it helpful? Because if you're anything like me, I don't want to waste my time focusing on something that's not going to make a difference in my life. Right? So why would we as a church even spend time talking about this if we didn't believe it was going to be helpful? Because I believe that when we intentionally spend time focusing on our faith, it does bring benefit to our life. I think there's four ways that this can be helpful to us. Now, if this is just a way, it's not the only way to grow in our faith, but it's a way. The four ways, though, that we this can be helpful. Number one is this, is I think a resource like this, anything like that, can help us deepen our understanding of the gospel. It can help us deepen our understanding of the gospel, right? The gospel is the story of Jesus, the good news of Jesus. It's summarized, I believe, very succinctly in John 3:16, the famous verse out of Scripture. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." That is the summary of what the gospel teaches. What's the good news of Jesus? And it's good to start there, but when you think about that verse, you begin to think about other things. It says, "For God so loved the world." Well, who's God? What is God? What type of God are we talking about? It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Well, who's his Son? What does it mean that Jesus is the Son of God? Why is Jesus the one that God gave to us? That whoever believes in him, what does it mean to believe? Shall not perish. What does it mean to perish? Why am I perishing? Am I, you know, is it physical death? Is it spiritual death? Like, what's happening? When you begin to unpack that, you begin to ask all these questions that deepen your understanding of the gospel. And learning more about that helps us fully understand and understand more fully the message that we've been given to share with the world. So I think something like a New City Catechism or a set of teachings, an intentional approach of deepening our faith, helps us understand the gospel. Second is this, is it also grows our relationship with God. It grows our relationship with God through Jesus. Listen, at the end of the day, why we would even have this conversation is that we believe God is wanting us to know him more and wanting us to know his son, Jesus. And ultimately, this is just a way, a conversation about how we can grow our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The more we know about God, the more we understand about Jesus, the more that we know him and the deeper connection and closeness we have with God. I believe that because it plays out not just in our relationship with God, but it plays out in every relationship. When I first met my wife back in high school, we knew each other. She was a couple grades older than I was, and we went to the same church, and so we did youth group stuff together. So there were some things I knew about her. There were some things she knew about me. I knew more about her, but that's, you know, just the way it was, right? Because I was younger, not quite as cool, but like we knew some things about each other. And then when we began to date after she got out of college and we began to kind of hang out some more, we began to learn more about each other and it deepened our relationship. And then we spent more time together for a couple of years. And then we got to a point where we knew enough about each other that we believed we loved each other and we were willing to commit to marriage. And that grew from when we first met to then. Because we knew more about each other, it grew our relationship. Well, you know, 19 or so years later, we know each other a lot more now than we did then. And our relationship is a lot deeper now than it was then. In the same way, the more we know about and learn about God, the more we understand what we believe and why, it deepens that relationship with God because there's more to know about him. Third thing is this, it helps us develop a practical faith. It helps develop a practical faith. The Bible's full of not just intellectual things we need to know, but things that we need to apply to our life. And the more that we know about God, the more that we know why we believe the things that we believe, it helps us to better know how we actually live those things out and why we should live them out in our life. The more convinced we are of certain truths leads to more conviction in our life to actually live those truths out. And part of something like a catechism is that it's a relational thing. It's a thing that we can do in a way where it's not just about memorizing certain things or knowing certain information, but it's something, it talks about, hey, listen, how do we live this out Monday and not just what we study on Sunday at church? It develops a practical faith. And the fourth thing is this, it provides for us, and this is so important. It provides for us a way that we can lead other people. Provides for us a way that we can lead other people. We talked about this verse last week as well, but 1 Peter 3:15, Peter's writing to followers of Jesus, and here's what he says. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do this with gentleness and respect. Peter says, listen, that you should know what you believe and why you believe it in a way that when people ask you about it, you can share with them in a beneficial way those two things. That our lives should be lived in a certain way. We talked about this last week, where our actions lead to questions. And when people ask us about our faith, we should be at a place we can clearly communicate what we believe and why it's making a difference for us. See, I think one of the reasons why we hesitate as people, as followers of Jesus, why we hesitate to put our faith out there in certain settings is because we are scared to death somebody's going to ask us a question that we won't know how to answer. The reason why we're hesitant to be outward in our faith, maybe at work or in school or in our classes and stuff like that, is we're not ashamed, but we don't necessarily engage people in faith because we're afraid that they're going to ask us a question that we don't know. And it's going to make us look foolish. Well, then growing in what we know and why we what we believe and why we believe it helps boost our confidence to do that. But we also are called not just to give the answer, but we are also called to help other people know Christ more and more as well. The Great Commission in Matthew 28:19-20, Jesus' parting words to his followers, he said, listen, I'm giving you a task. You're part of the mission of God now. And here's what I want you to do. It says, go therefore and make disciples, which means help other people put their faith in Jesus and grow in that faith to be like him. He says, I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. He says, if you're a follower of mine, Jesus says, you're supposed to go help other people grow in their faith in me. But if you've ever read that and thought, okay, well, how do I do that? Then you're not alone. Something like a catechism, a group of teaching, this New City Catechism allows us to have a resource and a way to not only deepen what we believe and why so we can share that with people, but also we can help lead people as they grow in their faith. You know, we believe at the Bay Area that the family is the number one place of spiritual growth. That as parents, we have a call to be the primary disciple maker, instructor, and leader spiritually for our kids. The challenge with that is that for so many of us as parents, we struggle sometimes knowing how to do that. Like we want to know how to do that, but either we don't feel adequate, we don't have a good resource, or we don't really feel like we have the tools that we need to do that. Why we want to spend some time talking about the New City Catechism is because we believe that's a resource for you and for me. Not just leading kids, leading anybody. Because see, to lead somebody else, honestly, all you have to do is be one step ahead. And this is the way that we can do that. So here's what we're going to be asking and challenging you to do today is to begin this conversation with us as a church. You believe in something. I believe in something. For many of us, we believe in the same thing, and that is faith in Jesus Christ. But do we clearly know what we believe and why? And if we would say that we honestly have a ways to go or a step we can take to grow in that, which I believe every single person does, whether you're young, whether you're older, whether you're retired, whether you're single, married, that we all need to grow in our faith because we never graduate from growing in our faith in Jesus. We're asking, would you be willing to lean into a way to intentionally spend time developing your faith and helping to develop the faith of other people? And that's what we're introducing throughout this series and this resource of the New City Catechism. So a catechism is simply, it's a group of instructions. This one is 52 questions and answers, one for every week of the year. Is it biblical? We're supposed to grow and help other people grow. And we need to grow in the knowledge and the truth of Jesus. So yes. Is it helpful? Absolutely. Because God wants us to know him more. So the last question is this. Is if you feel and you believe, like I've come to believe throughout the course of preparing for this series and study and talking to Pastor Brian when he introduced the idea to me and the staff, is this. Is I've got some ways I need to grow in my faith. There are some things I need to more clearly know about God and why I believe those things. And I could sure use some help knowing how to communicate those in a clear way when I'm asked about it. And so if that's where I am, then that's where you are, then here's what we're asking you to do. Here's the next step of where do we begin. It's this, is commit to taking a step. Commit to taking a step. Listen, I can't tell you the number of times, and maybe you're like this too, where I've been here on a Sunday morning or in a Bible study or something like that, and I felt like whatever the pastor, the speaker, the teacher, whatever they were saying, was I felt this idea. I need to do something about that to grow. There's a step I need to take. You ever been there where it's like, okay, you know, all right, yeah, I need to do something about this. And then the number of times that I've walked out and said, okay, I need to do something about that, and then never really done anything about that. And then I come back like a month later, and God says the same thing to me through whoever's leading, saying, hey, listen, you need to do something about this. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. I need to do something about this. And then I walk out and get busy and never do something about it. We're wanting to challenge you to join us in doing something about intentionally growing in our faith, right? And if you have a way that you're doing that, we're not telling you that way is wrong. We're just saying this is a way that we want to invite you to join with us in if you're not doing that. So here's what we want you to do. We want you to commit to taking that step. Second thing is this, and here's how we're going to do it together, is we want you to choose a day, a time, and a location each week where you're going to spend time thinking about a question, an answer, a verse, and some thoughts, right? So we want you to choose that day, time, and location. Third thing is this. We want you to either get alone by yourself, or better yet, get with some other people, your friends, family, spouse, life group, whatever, and commit to spending time thinking about these questions and answers, this group and set of questions and answers that will help us grow in our faith. And then here's what you're going to do. Is you're gonna get together by yourself, alone, or whatever, and if you choose to do this with us, you're gonna take one question, one answer a week. You're gonna read the question, you're gonna read the answer, you're gonna read the scripture that goes with it, and you're gonna spend time thinking about and talking about how that applies to our lives and what God's wanting us to learn through that. And then the last step we're gonna challenge you to take is this, is to memorize the question and the answer throughout the week. And it's at that point in the message that half of the room goes, I'm out, right? I'm tapping out. Like, I'm good, but memorizing 52 questions and answers? Like, I don't even know my phone number. I just press home. You know what I mean? Like, I'm supposed to memorize that? Listen, here's the thing. I'm going to give you a little hint because I love you, all right? When it has the question and the answer, on the answer, there's a highlighted part. That's the kids' version. Right? So like question 17, what is idolatry? It says idolatry is trusting in created things rather than our creator for our hope, happiness, significance, and security. I'll be honest with you. My goal for 2019 is the highlighted portion. I'm just telling you the way it is. You're like, Zach, you can't lower the bar like that. If you love Jesus, you memorize the whole thing. Listen, I would rather have a bar than no bar, which is what most of us do, if we're honest, right? All I'm saying is, listen, this is not something we're trying to put out there as a way and an approach to make you feel bad about what you're not doing. We believe that we all need help in growing in our faith. And so if we can take a step, it's a great step to take. And so here's what we're going to be doing for the next several weeks is we're going to practice this together with the idea of two things. Number one, growing in our faith together, growing deeper in what we believe and why we believe it, but then also, hopefully, getting you excited about continuing that conversation over the 52 weeks of 2019. So that at the end of this next year, we can say we as a church intentionally spent time not just believing something, but really digging into what we believe and why. In such a way that when we're asked about it, we can communicate it. In such a way that it makes a difference in our life, and in such a way that we can help lead other people to know more about who Jesus is, embrace his love and forgiveness in their life, and grow to be more like him. Because that is what God has called us to do. So what can you do today? Well, you can come back with me to the foundational idea of it all, is we all need a faith we can stand firm in and we can hold on to. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you believe in something. You believe in that. And if nothing else, we need to strengthen what we believe and why. And so here's what I want to challenge you to do. Over the course of this next series, for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be taking one question a week. We're going to talk about the question, the answer. We're going to unpack the scripture and talk about how it applies to our life. So we're going to have basically a large conversation here on Sunday morning. So after those 4 weeks, hopefully you'll know more about what you believe and why. But then also you'll be able to dive into, hey, I want to know more about even those things than I do now. And we want us to begin to practice those things. So here's what you can do today to get ready for that. You can decide and commit if this is something that we're going to be a part of as an individual, as a couple, as a family, knowing that we're not going to be perfect at it, but we're going to give our best to intentionally spend time on this. And here's what you can do to begin that today. Number one is this, and these are the four things at the bottom of your note sheet. You can go to newcitycatechism.com and you can download the app that they have. They have a phone app on Apple, Android, whatever kind of phone you have that has everything you need, all the questions, all the answers, all the scripture, all the commentary, all that stuff right there on your phone. And I want you to go ahead and start looking at that to think about how you can use this in your life if God's calling you to do that over this next 5 weeks, but also this next year. Second thing is this, because some of you are like, I don't do apps, right? Or I do an app, but I can't ever find my phone. I just never charge. I don't know what's going on. It's like, I need something more than that. Well, they have hard copy books available. And they're available at our Legacy Resource Center, which is right out these doors, right? See, for me, I love the idea of the app, but I'm going to get more having something in my hand I can hold because I'm a little more old school, right? And so these are available for you to look at and purchase, and they're super cheap. $10 for this one and $4 for this black one here. You don't necessarily need both of them. Everything that's in the black one is in the white one, as well as like some commentary and some thoughts and devotions. So if you just want to get one of these. If you want both of them, get both of them. If you don't want to buy any books, go download the app. All the same stuff is in there. But look at that and check it out. Third thing is this. Starting in January, follow us on our blog. We're going to go to our website. We're going to have a link, and the link's available there. Every single week, somebody on our staff or a volunteer in our church is going to be writing about the question, the answer, and how God is teaching us through that so we can walk in this together, right? And make a plan starting in January to join us in this intentional approach. God wants us to grow in our faith. And so many of you are growing. And this is something, seriously, that anybody and everybody can be a part of. Maybe you're here today and you're like, Zach, I'm not a follower of Jesus. Like, what does this have to do with me? Well, do you know what it means to be a follower of Jesus? Do you know why you don't believe? Maybe this would be a benefit to helping you answer those questions. You know, maybe you're a young follower of Jesus and you're like, man, is this like too much for me? You know what? It's beginning wherever you are and taking that next step. Maybe you're a parent, a grandparent, aunt, uncle, and you're like, this is a cool thing. Can I be a part of this? Absolutely. Maybe you're a life group leader and you're thinking, hey, can we integrate this into our life groups? Definitely. Maybe you're a senior adult and you're like, Zach, I've been around the block. I've done more Bible studies than you've ever seen in your entire life. Is this for me? Absolutely. Because if you're still breathing, you've got a chance to know God more. And your example is going to say a lot to the people that look to you about what it means to stay faithful for the long haul. We all believe in something, but do we know what we believe and why? Let's